souls, searching for a way that is true. Their lost and lonely eyes are looking for some help. Why not let it be you who leads them to Jesus? Their souls he'll set free. He will change their destiny. I can make a difference in this world. I can find those precious hidden pearls lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. I can make a difference. So many souls are bound by the chain of sin and strife. They're fighting for a life that is free. They're lost within this world, just waiting to be found. Why not let it be me who leads them to Jesus? Their souls he'll set free. Eternal freedom can be theirs. You can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. In this world, we can find those precious hidden pearls lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. We can make a difference in them. We can make world.
Thank you for that, Karina. We're going to hear that song several times this year because that is our theme, and we want to make a difference. Glad to have Brother Vong and his family back with us. How long are you in the States, Brother Vong? Up until July, so hopefully he'll be around a few times, but we're glad to have him with us tonight. He'll come, tell us a little bit about how things are going, and he'll preach to us. So let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
All right, thank you, Pastor Myers. Well, Brother Adrian's not kidding. This pulpit is the right size, amen? Appreciate that very much. Boy, I miss our church. I love being back. I love seeing familiar faces. What an encouragement. And I'm so very grateful for our home church, Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thank you so much, members, for your prayers, for your support, for your kindness. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and stand together, if you would, please, if you're able to. And we're just going to go ahead and read our passage of Scripture for tonight, and then we'll pray. Have you be seated, make a couple introductory comments, and then we'll move on. I promise I will not preach as long as Brother Board, amen? And so I don't know about Brother Adrian. He preached two messages in one session, so we're not going to go there. But let's go ahead and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 1 and number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you're there, please say amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity to be assembled together in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, the first day of the brand new year, they're here present in your house. And Lord, thank you for just the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you've given us. And Lord, we're so grateful for the many blessings that you've given us this past year in 2016. And we look forward to a wonderful year in 2017. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us now. Lord, help me to be a conduit of your message that you prepared for us this evening. I pray that you'd help me to communicate and relay what it is that you've placed in my heart to your people. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Again, I want to just emphasize my gratefulness for your prayer and your support. You know, we would not be where we're at if it weren't for you. And you know, just the backing of our local church, it means a ton. It means a ton. I don't know if you can fathom how much it means to us when we have a local church like Pacific Baptist just backing us up. And I just want to relay that our gratitude, not just for my family, but our team there in Southeast Asia as a whole. Thank you so much for praying for us, for loving us, for communicating with us. You know, it's such a blessing. You come home and you get people making comments like, I've been praying for you every day. Boy, that means a lot. That means a lot. Thank you so much for that. And of course, it doesn't get old when people come and shake your hand, greet you, and especially when they give you pictures of dead presidents. Amen? That's a tremendous blessing. Continue that, especially Benjamin Franklin. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for that. You folks have shown your love to us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. I'm so thankful for a faithful local church. You know, without this church, we won't have a team Southeast Asia. We won't have a team Cambodia. It's because of this local church. And of course, the local church comprises of people like you. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm so thankful for faithful and familiar faces. You know, it's a blessing to come home and see familiar faces, especially when the only thing I don't appreciate is when the familiar faces are taller than me, amen? So I just ask them, just stay seated where you're at. And boy, the young people have really grown, and I don't know what it is, but it just seems like everybody's getting taller these days. It's just, I guess it's the food that we have here, amen? But I'm so grateful for familiar faces, and not only that, I'm so grateful for new faces. You know, you come back home and you see people that you've never seen before. And what an encouragement. What an encouragement. What does that tell us? That tells us that our church is growing. And we're still fulfilling the Great Commission. And thank you so much for that. You know, above all, we're thankful for God's grace in our lives. You know, I was actually humming and singing that song, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, on my way to church this evening. And guess what the first song was? Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Amen. By the way, don't let God's grace get old. We would not be where we're at today if it were not for God's grace. Amen? And don't take God's grace for granted. I like the song. The chorus goes, were it not for grace, I can't tell you where I've been. If it weren't for God's grace, we won't know where we're at. We would be this evening. Thank God for God's grace. God's grace has been evident on our journey. You know, it's been over 4 years, Pastor Myers, since we've been deputized and sent out from Pacific Baptist Church. Boy, 4 years seemed like a blink of an eye. I mean, it was just yesterday that we were sent out of this great church. We spent 27 months traveling, and by the way, that was an experience, amen? And loved every minute of it, sort of. And 27 months traveling, and it'll be almost 2 years in January that we've been in Cambodia. Man, time flies. Time flies. God has allowed us to work with our team that is sent out of our church. You know, that's That's amazing to be able to work with a team sent out of your home church. You understand how awesome that is? Same philosophy, same direction, same standards. And God allowed us to have a great team, and it keeps us accountable. You know, one thing that is emphasized, just like emphasized, it's emphasized here, the family. The family's emphasized there. And our team members keep us all accountable. You know, we'll ask the hard questions during our staff meeting. How's your walk with God? How's your family life? And it's a blessing that we have team members looking out for us and just encouraging us to stay faithful. And I'm so thankful for our team there in Cambodia. I was reminded this week about a character in a cartoon. I think the character's name is Frozone, and he was prepping to go save the world or something like that, and he blurted out to his wife, "I'm gonna go for the greater good," and the wife said, "Greater good? I am your greater good." And so, you know, it reminds you that, hey, it's all about the family first. Your ministry is your family before anything else. And so what an encouragement to have your family, your team encouraging you, hey, keep the family in focus. And so I'm so thankful for our team, so thankful for the leadership that we have there. It's just amazing to see, wow, 2 years just like that. And now I've come back and I see all the young people getting married and having children, and scary stuff, man, scary stuff. And I remember telling a couple, just remember, you reap what you sow, amen? You reap what you sow. So I look forward to seeing that harvest. But no, I'm just playing, just kidding. It's good. It's all good. And so, but I do want to say I told you so, amen? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so moving along here, you know, when we got to Cambodia, just a few... I'm going to take a little bit in the introduction, but I promise you the sermon will be short. Amen. And when we got to Cambodia, I tell you what, it was an experience traveling with, at that time, 5 children. Let me do this before. Let me introduce my family. Amen. I forgot all about that. So let's go ahead. My wife, Titus, Tyler, Lydia, Tad, and Timothy's in the nursery. But there goes. Oh, he. He left ship, he abandoned ship, and he's in Esposito now, I guess, for the day. But that's my wife, Needy, for those of you that have not met her. Titus, raise your hand. Titus, I'm not going to tell you his age because it changes every year. Tyler over there, secondborn. Lydia, Timothy, or Thaddeus, and Timothy's in the nursery. And our newest addition, Lois, not Superman's girlfriend, but Timothy's grandmother, amen? So thank you. You may be seated. And... you know, what a blessing it is to be able to serve with my family over there in Cambodia. Thankful for my wife, and wouldn't be able to do what I do if it weren't for her. And traveling to Cambodia was an experience. You know, this is the first time we traveled internationally as a family. And by the way, it's a pretty lengthy trip. I mean, it was a lengthy trip. And of course, Timothy was just I guess he's starting to be a toddler then, and but it was an experience. Now, coming back was an even greater experience, amen, with 6 children. But it's been a great journey. Once we got to Cambodia, we jumped right in. We jumped right in. We were able to do what we've been doing here. The thing was, once I got there, Pastor Myers, Brother Bort left within a week and a half. And so I was already filling the pulpit. I was already preaching in Khmer. It was funny that the people were so gracious because I haven't been using the Khmer language for 27 months. And as I got to Cambodia to start preaching in Khmer, I could just tell by the people's faces that they were enduring. And I think one of our church members just recently told me, Lokru, our teacher, when you first came, I had such a hard time. I had such a hard time listening to you. But now, you've improved, and I thanked her, and then I I put her name down to get on her later. But no, I'm just kidding. But what a blessing it is. Our people have been gracious. God's given us great people. We're able to jump right in, serve the Lord there, preaching, discipling. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to make a difference. You know, I love the theme this year, making a difference. You know, if it weren't for somebody making a difference in me, I wouldn't be able to make a difference in the lives of others. And so that's the way it works, folks. That's the way it works. So if someone's made a difference in you, what are you waiting for? Let's make a difference in somebody else. And so we were given the privilege to make a difference. I won't have enough time, but during the course of almost 2 years, we've been able to lead people to the Lord. We've been able to baptize people, disciple people, help encourage and train our leadership there. You know, thank God for the national leaders there in Cambodia. Man, they're tearing it up. They're doing a great job. And why? Because of churches like Pacific Baptist praying and supporting us. Thank you so much for that. Our children have adapted. Titus and Tyler, they can read and write the language now. Let me remind you about the Khmer language. There's quite a few consonants and quadruple the vowels, okay? We have A, E, I, O, U here and sometimes Y. Well, in the Khmer language, there's a lot of vowels. And so my children were able to pick that up, and I'm grateful for that. Sometimes when I spell something wrong in Khmer, Titus corrects me. I give him the look, and I swat him later. Amen. But they got the language down pat, and I'm thankful for that. And we've received some comments about me being half the man I used to be, and so we've lost a lot of weight. I think I lost close to 40 pounds. And it's easy to lose that weight when your wife is chasing you with an axe, amen? And so I run and she runs, and that's how she loses her weight too. But that's just the way it works. No, I'm just kidding. But lost a lot of weight. Hey, forget the weight loss program. Just come to Cambodia. You'll lose weight. I promise you. So God's been keeping us healthy. God's been blessing us with people to work with. I just want to give you just two testimonies of people that we've been able to be a part of, to making a difference in their lives. I think of a couple named Chia and Ni. Chia and Ni heard about our ministry through a national pastor, because the national pastor lived a life where he basically had a great testimony. And Gia, the husband, noticed that this guy, he's different. I wonder what makes him different. And so he asked the neighbors, "Hey, what's the deal with this guy? How come he's peculiar?" And the neighbor said, "Well, he's a Christian." And so Gia discussed with his wife, and he said, "You know what? I want to find out what being a Christian is all about, because I want to know what makes this guy the way he is." And so, make a long story short, he moved around our vicinity, and we got his contact, and we were able to visit with him, and he invited him to church. He started coming to church for several weeks. Started to ask questions, started to be curious, and just kept asking questions. And one day, I remember during our small groups, he came up to me and said, "Lukru, teacher, I'm ready. I'm ready to be a Christian, because I want to be different, just like that pastor, that national pastor." And so we were able to lead him to. I was able to lead him to the Lord that night, and then a few moments later, he walks towards me with his wife, and his wife said, "Teacher, I want to do exactly what my husband just did right now. I want to get saved too." And so I was able to lead her through the sinner's prayer. She got saved, got baptized the next celebration service. And about, Brother Adrian, what, 6 months? 6 months ago, I, we make it a point, once we see people saved, it just doesn't stop there. We disciple them. We teach them. We tell them more about the Christian life. And I was I remember it was a Thursday. I called them up, confirm with him, hey, Gia, I'm going to go ahead and I just want to confirm this coming Saturday. I'm going to go to your house and just want to make sure you're going to be there, and we'll go through our discipleship program. And he said, yeah, I'll be ready. I remember, and I'll make sure I'm ready on Saturday. So that was Thursday. I gave him a call, and then Saturday morning, right before our Faithfulness rally, I called him, and I said, I called him just to let him know, hey, I'm on my way. So the phone rang for a while, and then finally, someone picked up on the other line, and I heard music going on. And usually when there's music in the background, it's either a big wedding or some type of funeral. And so I was listening, and then I said, Gia, and then the person that responded wasn't Gia, it was his wife. And her voice was shooken up, and I said, is Gia around? And then that voice, his wife, responded, no, Lukuru, a teacher, he passed away Friday. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. And basically the music that was playing in the background was his funeral. Because in Cambodia, funerals happen right away. And we didn't know anything about it. And I was still in shock. And I didn't know what to say. I prayed for her. We hung up, told her that I was going to visit with her and see if she needed anything. But, you know, I often thought about that. What happened was he had a heart condition. And he basically didn't wake up. And he's only 35 years old. 35 years old. He didn't wake up. And I thought about that. I thought about, wow. You know, someone once said the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. I'm so thankful that the gospel was good news to that family. As a matter of fact, I failed to tell you this. His wife had just given birth 3 days before. And then he passed away. Or a week before, I'm sorry, a week before. And he passed away. Boy, I'm so glad that we were able to make a difference in their lives. I think of another family. The teenage boy has been coming to our church for a couple years. And our team members have been working with the parents, have been trying to, you know, just like the model here, you know, we reach the young people and then we try to reach the parents. We do the same thing over there in Cambodia. And we try to, our team members, Brother Tu, Brother Board, our national leaders, have been trying to witness and reach this young man's parents with the gospel. And, they've respectfully declined several times. And one day, one of the national leaders said, Lukuru, let's go visit this family. And so, Ashley, let's invite him for lunch, and I'd like for you to share the gospel with him again. And it's good, you know, to have fresh, new voice, fresh voices, another voice that they can hear the gospel from. And I was able to share the gospel with one of our faithful teenagers' father. And we spent about, I want to say, 2 hours with him, sharing the gospel, making sure he understood. And The man looked at me and said, you know what? It makes sense. Can I accept him now? Can I receive him now? And you know, the thing is, sometimes they like to use the word Joel. Joel. Joel means to be a part of a certain group. They like to, you know, because, look, everybody want to be a part of something if they can get some monetary gain. And so, I'll be a part of it if I get this. But, you know, that's why we spend a lot of time explaining salvation, because you don't, becoming a Christian is not going to, we're not going to build a house for you. and so we explained it, and I was so thankful that he bowed his head and accepted the Lord as Savior. And then 6 months later, by the way, the teenage boy, he's been praying all this time for his dad. And then 6 months later, I had the privilege to lead his mom to the Lord. you know, just little testimonies, little things like that, that we're able to make a difference. Now, and we wouldn't be able to do that if it weren't for you. So church, I commend you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be an extension of your ministry there in Southeast Asia. And so many more testimonies, but I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of sharing the gospel with our own people. You know, it's one thing to have Brother Board. And by the way, Brother Board, he's not Cambodian. I don't know if you know that. But he's not Cambodian. But he loves the Cambodian people more than me. And he went to reach my people. And by the way, Cambodians that are in here, the least you can do is pray for your own people. The least you can do is beg God on their behalf. Look, if it weren't for God's grace in your life, where would you be? Where would you be? And so let's be in prayer for our missionaries there in Cambodia. And by the way, you are doing that. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And of course, we attribute this all to the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, we would not be able to do what we're doing. And just like in 2 Timothy here, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we see, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It's not by accident that Timothy's spiritual father, Paul, encourages and admonishes Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'd like to parallel it with this thought. You know, Cambodia being a third world country, there's a lot of illnesses that are prevalent. There's a lot of sickness. You can get, like Brother Adrian mentioned, you can go eat some street food and then drop 10 pounds later, amen? But so you got to be careful. And so some safeguards that I have for myself and for my family is I take some vitamins. I take some vitamins. And, you know, vitamin C, A, B, all the way to Z and all that stuff. But I take vitamins. And vitamins have helped me maintain my health. And I'm thankful for vitamins. Vitamins are essential for strong and healthy bodies. And by the way, we get our vitamins through the food that we eat too. So when we eat food, it's a good thing. Now, when we overeat, it's also not very good either. But the fact of the matter is eating the right food is important for obtaining vitamins for our bodies. You know, I remember when I was younger, I was encouraged to eat a lot of greens. You know, eat your balai, okay, your salads, your greens, your broccoli, amen? Sorry, I just cussed for some people. But maybe some of us, we don't like to eat that stuff. But you know what? It's good for us. It's good for us. Why? Because there's essential vitamins and minerals that our body needs to operate. Some of us get our vitamins by taking multivitamin supplements. And it helps ensure that we get our minimum daily requirement of vitamins. This evening, I'd like for us to consider a daily essential of a spiritual vitamin that we need in order that we are able to withstand the challenges and problems that we will face and to pass on the faith to the next generation. And this vitamin that I'm talking about is grace. Grace. And not just any grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need God's grace. Of course, somebody said, you know, there's three types of graces. You got saving grace. By the way, thank God for God's saving grace. Amen. God saved me. God saved you. Amen. Praise the Lord for God's saving grace. But there's also God's living grace, God's sustaining grace. You know, if it weren't for God's grace, we, like I mentioned, we would not be where we're at today. Thank God for the jobs that he's given us. Thank God for the health that he's given us. What do we attribute that to? God's living grace, God's sustaining grace. And of course, the third grace is dying grace. You know, the thing about Christians, when we pass on, is we're hopeful. We have hope. When we die, we know where we're going. By the way, that's God's grace. And I'm thankful for God's grace. And the Apostle Paul mentioned and encouraged, admonished Timothy, hey, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And just two things I want you to consider. No, time is fleeing away. Is that there is the reality of depletion. Look, the grace, the vitamins that we take on a day-to-day basis, do you know that we have to take it daily? We need it. We need to take it every day because, you know, when we take those vitamins, our bodies use it, and we, if there's too much, it expels it, okay? So the next day resets. We take it again. Well, God's grace is necessary for each day. And we need the grace of God. Look, sometimes, I tell you what, you know, brother two mentioned it. He nailed it spot on. We need your prayers, not necessarily for culture shock, but culture clash, amen? Culture clash. Look, there's a phrase in the Khmer language that I don't like. I hate it. The Khmer phrase is called "man aite." "Man aite" means it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, certain things is all right, but certain things is not all right. Look, okay, let me give you an example. When you place an order, okay, and by the way, we have a large family. There's 8 of us. And when we, rare is the case that when we order, we go to a restaurant, we order, we get all our food at the same time and eat together as a family. Rare is the case. I mean, when we order, let's say I get my food first, well, my wife will get her food an hour later. And that food would be wrong. And then when we say it's wrong, they say, "Man aite." See, what do you mean, "Man aite"? I'm paying for this. "Man aite." What's this all about? And so, you know, you get irritated. You get, you know, somebody said, you get in the flesh, amen? You get, and sometimes, look, you see my complexion? You know, it's, I don't get red. It's hard to get red, amen? You know, someone's, you know, like Brother Two mentioned, they're blunt. Cambodian people are very blunt. Nationals are very blunt. They look at you, they size you up and say, "Man, you're fat." And then not only that, okay, Ramirez, "Man, you're black." I'm like, "Black?" And then I joke with them. I say, "Look, I'm half Chinese. I just don't I don't take many baths. That's why." And so, and, you know, they laugh. And another thing, ooh, they love to rip you off. They love to rip you off. And I mean, my people like to rip me off, I should say. You know, during the transaction, as they're ripping you off, they're smiling. They're smiling. And I'm like, "Hey, you just ripped me off. Give me my 25 cents, you know?" And by the way, 25 cents. You know, if we don't have God's grace upon our lives, that 25 cents can be a big deal. And by the way, we make it a big deal sometimes because we're not mindful that, hey, we're supposed to be a light, salt. Hey, I've dropped the ball a couple times. All right, let me give you another story. There's a place I like to frequent, and so I'd go there, and during the rainy seasons, the monsoon seasons, boy, I tell you what, we can probably bring some of that water here to Southern California. When it rains, it pours, so I drive a motorcycle. That's what it's called. Thank you. Appreciate that. I almost forgot that word. So I drive one of those. By the way, I've never driven a motorcycle in my whole life. Okay, I've never gotten on one while I was in the States. And the first time I got on one, Brother Adrian, was when I went to go buy one. And by the way, no one was with me. I was by myself because everybody was too busy. And so I was by myself, and I waited. I bought it, and then I waited for traffic to die down, and I don't know what I was smoking. Traffic doesn't die down, okay? And I was like, okay, I'm going to wait for traffic to die down. And a few hours later, I was like, it ain't going to die down. It's not going to die down. So, boy, I prayed for God's grace. I stepped out in faith. or peddled in faith, whatever. And I got on that motorcycle and fell a few times, amen. And we got to our destination. But anyway, I don't know why. Okay, I'm running out of time. So this place I frequent, they have security guys that would watch your mopeds, motorcycles, and such. And I knew it was gonna rain that day. It's gonna rain, and so I parked my motorcycle inside the facility, and you know I figured, well, my motorcycle's inside the facility, so I'm gonna put my helmet, clip my helmet on the whatever it's called, okay, that thingy. And so I clipped it on there, but my helmet was like this, you know, so it serves as a good rainwater bowl if it's outside, but it's not. I parked it inside. And so I did my thing. I came out, and I started looking for my motorcycle. I couldn't find it. I was like, what? There's a security guy. I mean, there's no way someone can steal it. And there's plenty of better-looking motorcycles than mine. Why would they want to take mine? So I looked around, and then all of a sudden, the corner of my eye, outside, in the pouring rain, with my helmet flipped like this to gather rainwater for the harvest, I looked at my motorcycle. I don't care less about the motorcycle, but the helmet. You know, it's not a conduit for rainwater. It's for me to protect my head. Amen. And so, and you know, little things like that. I went out. I was like, what? Who moved my motorcycle? I was red. I mean, look, it's hard for me to get red, but I was red. I felt it. And as I walked out to my motorcycle, the security guy comes up. He's like, and he comes up to me and he smiles. He's like, and I looked at him. I said, why in the world would you put my motorcycle out there? He just looks at me and he just smiles at me. I said, man, don't smile at me. Say sorry or something. Why are you smiling for? You think that's funny? You know, and I just went off. I just went off on him. Brother Pineda, I almost broke his neck for over a dumb helmet. I mean, I was ticked. I was so mad. I mean, look, I thought I got my bases covered. You know, I parked my motorcycle inside. You know, it's going to be dry. I'm going to be able to put it on. But instead, it served as a water bowl. And I was upset. I was mad. I said some not so nice words. Okay, I didn't cuss or anything, but I thought it. But but you know, the Holy Spirit, moments later, said, "You dummy, you see this guy almost every other day, and you passed out tracts to him. You've told him about Jesus, and here you are, ripping him to shreds just because he was smiling at you." Boy, I felt so bad. And it's the little things like that that we need God's grace for. Look, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. Amen. I'm not perfect, and I need God's grace. I need God to help me respond to, if you would, injustices or misunderstandings. Because let me tell you something. As I mentioned before, boy, the Cambodian, my people are very blunt. They're very blunt. And sometimes when we're having a terrible day and we don't need anybody to tell us we're black and fat, you know, it's one of those things, it's easy to snap. It's easy to say something. But you know what? They don't know any better. They don't know what we come from. But look, by the way, look, it gets bothersome when people come up to you and say, how much money you make? You got six kids, the government, how much do they pay you? And I'm like, pay me what? You mean I pay them? And so it gets bothersome, it gets irritating. But you know what? If we take our vitamin of God's grace on a day-to-day basis, we'll be able to withstand that. And we need the grace of God. The reality of depletion, we need God's grace. We must face the reality that we can become depleted in our spiritual resources, especially God's grace. We will many times exhaust our usage of God's grace and find ourselves trying to endure hardship in our own power. And you know the end result. When we use our own power to try to face that, it results in failure. We soon discover that our power is insufficient, and we realize that our power is no substitute for the grace that God desires us to draw upon. Are you depleted in your patience, your passion, your power, and your people tolerance? Well, time to take another dosage of God's grace, amen? Are you at the bottom of the barrel scraping away for something to keep you going? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And we see that verse, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Father knows best. Paul encouraged Timothy, hey, take that vitamin of God's grace. And the truth is still the truth today. We need God's grace. Let's take that vitamin on a day-to-day basis. Make one more statement, then I'll be done. Not only is there the reality of depletion, there is also a rigorous directive. God wants us to take it. Our Father wants us to get it daily. Paul recognized that Timothy was not performing at the level he once was performing. His gift of preaching needed stirring. His proclamation of the gospel was waning, and he was ashamed of sharing the gospel. Timothy, at that time, he was discouraged that Paul was in prison and facing execution. He was discouraged that he had hit a wall as to his effectiveness for the Lord. So Paul gave a directive to Timothy. He instructed him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And tonight, I want to encourage you. Hey, let's take that vitamin of God's grace. Let's be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because we need it. Amen? We need it. And church, thank you. I can't express that enough. Thank you for supporting and praying for us. Thank you for praying for God's grace upon our lives. Thank you for praying for safety. Look, whenever you step on the streets of Phnom Penh, boy, it takes a lot of faith, amen? It takes faith, it sure does. And, when you practice crossing the street in the States, you know, you look left and right. Well, in Phnom Penh, you don't look just left and right. You look behind, in front, above, sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. But, look, you probably have to look in the bottom because them street rats are big, I tell you what. Yeah, they're big, amen? A lot of vitamins and minerals in those guys, too. So, we need your prayers, especially we need God's grace. And church, I encourage you, let's take that vitamin on a day-to-day basis. We need God's grace. The Apostle Paul said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I encourage you, let's also be strong in God's grace. Let's pray.